If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitute.
Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Well, you know, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. But before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and heck, give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit itunes.com/billboardpodcasts. Okay, I'm super stoked because this week we are dedicating the entire show to a discussion about some of our favorite pop female vocalists. And to help us, we are joined by two incredible singers and our guest co-hosts for the week, Donna DeLory and Nikki Harris. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, good stuff.
I have been fans of Donna and Nikki for years, ever since they started singing backup vocals for one of my favorite artists, Madonna,
right.
way back in 1987. They continued to sing with the diva for many, many years and worked with a number of other artists as well. Donna provided backing vocals for everyone from Belinda Carlisle and Bette Midler to Tommy Page, our former publisher at Billboard, in fact.
I gotta get back in touch with him.
Yeah,
you gotta give me that.
He's a very busy guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's somewhere else now, but he's great.
Okay.
We can hook you up.
Okay.
Selena even, and Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you worked with Patrick Leonard on Leonard Cohen's album.
Worked with him, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We both
many,
did.
Yeah, you both,
we both did.
Many
Cohen.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, and Nikki, you sang on Whitney Houston. I think even on Where Do Broken Hearts Go? I believe you have vocals on that.
First five
records.
Amazing.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who else? Vanessa Williams, Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah.
Santana.
Yeah.
The Game of Love. You sang on The Game of Love with Michelle Branch. We were just listening,
listening to that
the other day randomly.
Good stuff. Good. Sheryl Crow.
Awesome.
Sheryl Crow and
wait for it.
Marilyn Manson.
I did.
I missed that one.
Rockin' hard.
On his Mechanical Animals album.
Simple, gentle young man.
Gentle soul.
Simple, gentle soul. Till that makeup gets on.
Exactly.
And then he turns into a whole other person.
You know, like a real pop artist should.
An artist.
Yes.
Like, yes, exactly. A true
most
artist.
The art of pop.
And I won't dwell on Marilyn Manson too long, but
it was
great.
It was fun.
I remember getting that album and listening to I Don't Like the Drugs, But the Drugs Like Me.
Exactly.
And at the end of it, I'm like, ooh, who are these wailing divas here at the end? And I look at the liner notes, I'm like, it's Nikki Harris!
Ah!
Oh, my God!
She wails. She still wails.
Well, you know, girl, come on now.
Yeah, I like wailers.
Well, you know, of course, Donna and Nikki also worked on their own solo material through the years. And both of them have charted hits on Billboard's charts, including numerous top 10 singles on our Dance Club Songs chart. Now the two ladies have joined forces to produce a collaborative album.
Yay!
And they are currently crowdfunding to raise money to make the project happen.
Yes.
And you can find out more information about the album and their music at pledgemusic.com/projects/Nikki and Donna. And that's NIKI-AND-DONNA. And we will have links and everything in the story that you're reading on Billboard.com. Go there right now.
We have to write a song like that. Nikki 1K, Donna 2 Ins.
Exactly.
Nikki 1K, Donna 2 Ins.
Yeah.
That's how they'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
Remix
keep
that.
Going, yeah.
Keep going.
Well, that should be,
Nikki
we should have put that on that remix.
Donna 2 Ins. Nikki 1K, Donna 2 Ins.
Maybe on the Rain remix for the clubs.
There you
know?
Go.
I can see it happening.
I'm loving it. Let's make it happen. we'll be talking all about Donna and Nikki's new music. Plus, we'll be discussing our personal favorite female vocalists of all time. Perhaps we can even get in a few memories from the ladies about working with maybe Madonna. Maybe. Just
there's
a little.
A few there.
Just a few.
Yeah,
a
few.
I won't, you know, we won't dwell too much, you know.
There will be no dwelling.
No dwelling on the Madonna.
We have no pen.
That's right. We won't look back.
Yep, there you go. I want to know, is this the first time the two of you have properly worked together, you know, on a collaborative project? Because I think you've done vocals a little bit before, maybe here and there, but like a full-on project together.
I guess
yes.
Technically, yes.
It is.
This is
it the, is, where it's we're both the artists, and, you know, over the years, Nikki has definitely come in and sung on my albums,
right.
And it would always be
and
like,
you
come
sang
over,
background on my stuff.
And on her stuff, but I'd be like, come over and hang. We'd have, you know, at my house, and she'd come over for dinner, and then I'd be like, but can you come back in the studio and throw down a couple vocals? So she was always so generous to do that. So over the years, we've been involved musically, but not to this capacity.
What the heck took so long? Because, I mean, the blend of your voices is just so beautiful, and people have heard your voices together for decades now.
Yeah. Yeah.
What took you so darn long?
Really? I think growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want the honest answer or you want the politically correct answer?
No, whatever answer you'd like to give me.
Okay, let's go for honest. How about that? I was going to say politically correct. But yeah, the honest, probably the time, timing of it all, you know, babies came involved. And just, we always still sang in the same spiritual capacity. We'd see each other in our spiritual journeys.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we decided, like, we really want to do these songs that mean something to us beyond just our God path or the yoga path or any of that stuff. So we always had that stuff in common. And I think now we could get to a point, and I think the song Kinder helped us get to it. Because I still, you know, what happens in your 20s and in your 30s and then in your 40s is quite different than, you know, or what you'll do in your 20s is quite different what you will say and do in your 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a different story to tell now. So I think that's, and we didn't want to keep telling the same story.
And Kinder was the track that kind of kicked things off for you guys. And that was a track on one of your albums, right, Donna?
Yeah, on an album called The Unchanging. Mm-hmm. And I had heard this song. It's actually, it was originally recorded by Copper Women. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have not. But.
And it was just an a cappella piece, three-part harmony. I walked into a dance event, and this record was playing. And I had just been with my father, who I was taking care of, and he was talking about looking back on his life and everything, and I was processing all that with him, saying, Dad, let's just be grateful you had a great life, everything, it's all good, you're a great dad, nothing to feel bad about. And I walked in, I heard the song, it was so healing for me, and then I decided to be happy. That's the first line of the song. I decided to start singing it, and just Nikki's voice popped into my head, and I thought, we have to sing this together. And when we did get together to sing it live, there was a looking in each other's eyes and saying these words was such a healing experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we tap into something that's just effortless and just flows.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stay in that place with each other, it's just endless what we can do together. And it comes from this place of love and respect and the sisterhood.
Was there... Am I incorrect to think that maybe there was like a time where you guys like maybe weren't friends or together or close for a while?
Well, what happened was we had our babies a day apart.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, literally. We were pregnant together and then we had our babies a day apart. And then what happened was I ended up staying home. She ended up continuing to go out with Madonna. And our lives just took
just
a different
path, professional path.
I kept singing jazz, I kept making dance music, but I didn't do the Madonna thing anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it got really hard for us to, you know, like remember that part. And we forgot to remember that we had other colors that we painted with besides the Madonna palette.
Yeah, yeah.
And so once we finally realized, oh, wait a minute, we have so much more stuff going on besides that. And it's harder when you have platforms like this that remind you all the time, oh, yeah, that's the big thing thing that you guys have. It's like, wait a minute, yeah, but we do so much more.
Certainly.
Than that. We have so much more to say. And we're grateful for that, and we want to stay kind and have kind words about that period. But what we're saying now is a different brushstroke on this beautiful portrait that we're painting.
Well, I think what's so great, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, I think the entry point, certainly for a lot of people, is Madonna, because we know you from seeing you in the Truth or Dare.
Of course.
And we saw you on a million tours and in the music video for Vogue and on MTV and so forth. But the blend of your voices is just so beautiful that I just enjoy hearing you sing. And mm-hmm. Madonna doesn't have to be there. I just like hearing your voices together.
And we're hearing that.
We learned
from
that so much. I mean, and we kept doing that in our spiritual senses, in the yoga centers and the spiritual centers around the world. We definitely knew that element that we had, but we didn't remember that this can translate into another audience outside of the churches, outside of the yoga centers. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we can still do this. And look at the stories that we have, these rich, amazing tapestry that we can paint with now.
Because of where we are in our lives and what we've experienced and how we can look at our lives in such a positive way. And be with so much gratitude for being brought together.
And I don't know if we had those words in our 30s. I don't know if we had those words in our 20s. You know?
We all get to a different point in our life, and we all follow a path for a different reason. You know, and it just, you end up where you end up. And we're just fortunate that you're here together doing this
now. Absolutely.
That's how we feel. Yeah.
You know?
That's how we feel.
It's just, it worked out this way because it was supposed to work out this way.
Exactly.
Mm. And the music, the good thing is the music never died. Because the minute we started singing together, we were like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's breathing.
I saw some YouTube clips, I think, of you guys performing Kinder. I think it was live at an event. And then I've seen the YouTube clips of you working on Rain together. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're in like the woods somewhere, maybe in a...
That's
like,
her house.
Like
that'd be Jordan's house.
Okay.
That's Don's house.
And I was like...
Yummy.
It's just great.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
It's all happened so organically. And, you know, I always tell the story about... This became so important to me from reading the comments of fans from a video that we put out of us just starting to work on that song. And we were kind of messing around with it, working on the arrangement, and my daughter, who was 12, shot it on the iPad. And Amanda edited it together, and it got so many views and so many comments. So from reading those comments and seeing people say, you've got to work together, come on, and feeling all of that love and support, that's what really, for me, you know, drove me to want to do a lot more and do a whole record together.
As well as in a world, it's really strange, being part of a movie that was one of the first movies that the camera was following us around, and people were like, why are they doing that? Why is there a camera around? Mm-hmm. And then to be part of a culture now where everybody wants a camera around.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, they're striving for that. It just felt like this story that we can tell, and the songs that we can sing, and the place that we can sing from is like, you don't have to push it that hard. You don't have to, just build it, and they will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The field of dreams really does exist.
Yeah.
It really does exist. It's like, and so to me, it's like, if we do, let her daughter we don't have to have a big camera crew.
No.
We really don't. Because what we're doing is such from a pure place that people will recognize that and just do that, and they will come, trust me. You know,
just sang.
Just sang, girl.
Just sang, girl.
As grandma would say, girl, just sang.
Just sang. With an S-A-N-G.
Yeah, keep it playing, baby. Keep it playing.
Sang. The yin and yang between you two is just so interesting. And that's the way it's always been, for at least the public sort of persona that we've been able to see when the two of you are together. It's kind of, there's an interesting contrast between the two of you. And I think there always has been, where...
I just got goosebumps. Because for me, it's like, okay, this is where I'll go. Thank you, Madonna. Thank you, Madonna. This is the genius of that woman.
Yes.
No, seriously. And I will praise her to no end on this one. She got it. She got it where we didn't get it.
Definitely.
And I remember her pulling me into the trailer a couple of times. Like, you don't understand the power that you have. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're my boss. You don't understand the power that you have. And I'm like, okay. But now I understand what she was talking about. You get every part of the spectrum with us and these voices. I hear so much. I hear stuff from, I see her Patsy Cline. I hear the Appalachian Mama. I hear all Emily Lou Harris in her. There's all colors in her that are so beautiful. And some of them I can't reach, but I can I can bring something out in me that really, really, the textures work so well together. It's like a lovely comforter over a beautiful, couch. And it's like, it's just so yummy hanging with her. So I thank you, Madonna, for reminding
Absolutely.
Me. And not being afraid of it. And because this world, sorry, don't get here. finger, you know, my finger goes in the air before I know.
She's holding her finger up.
I'm holding the finger up because this world wants to pit us against each other so much. So many people telling us that, you know, this is the way it has to be. This is the way. And Madonna got it. She's like, watch this when it melts together. This is the good stuff. This is where the sweet spot is.
Yeah.
And that's why.
This is the sweet spot.
We were recording last night and I did a very high part, pure, high, angelic kind of voice. And then Nikki, we were trying to search for what part she was going to sing, and then she did the lower part. It was so beautiful to hear that blend. There was so much air between us, too. Mm-hmm. There was so much space, but so full. So I love it.
I want to ask more about the music that you're working on together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've heard a little bit. We've heard Rain, which is a cover of Madonna's Rain from the Erotica album. And famously, you went on tour with her on the Girly Show tour and performed Rain. And there's this beautiful breakdown in it where the three of you are singing it together. And the harmonies are just, I mean, they're always great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people really remember that performance of Rain from the Girly Show. And so when you did that, I'm like, well, hell. I mean, come on now. So it's great that we have a taste of that. What can we expect from the rest of the music that you're working on? Is it more covers? Is it original material? What can we say?
We're doing covers as well at this point, but we are definitely trying to write some more stuff that really speaks to where we want to sing from.
Yeah.
We just finished, last night we did All Through the Night.
The Cyndi Lauper song?
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's
really
going to be incredible.
Good.
Yeah.
Really
well, we basically put the beat down and sang over the beat, just like, okay, how is this working for us? But the more we sing on something, it's just like, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be amazing. So we decide how much energy we want to put into it. Do we want to stay on that or move to another song?
At the end of the day, the words have to, you know, the story has to be there in the song.
You have to believe it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have submitted songs and we're like, that's a really great song and we would sound good on it, but it doesn't really say what we want to say
right now.
You know, whereas, you know, we have no past. We won't reach back. Keep with me, Donna, forward, all through the night. Like, those lyrics mean something.
We were in Nashville, and you started, and I had been thinking of that song, and she brought that up.
Yeah,
and she started saying those lyrics that way. I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. But I'd never heard that song that way. Mm-hmm. There's another song that we used to warm up before we went on stage with. And we used to sing Nobody's Girl, which was
a
Bonnie Raitt. We always sang to Bonnie Raitt while we were getting ready, right after our naps.
Right. So we're in our we're in our 20s, and we're listening to Bonnie Raitt. So imagine, we really love mature music even then.
Yeah.
You know, she was considered the mature. She was doing her age was this age now, right? Yeah,
that was like Nick of Time, Longing
exactly.
in Her Heart.
Oh,
all
that stuff.
We would
all
get in the shower in the arena in our dressing room.
Those changed my life, you know.
We'd be in the shower with all that reverb. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
And sing these songs.
Yeah.
So now to come back to it, you know, we have that connection to that song. And it's amazing. So we're starting to
And we know what it feels like to be nobody's girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lyric to that, too, which a lot of people, I think, can relate to.
Rain, which we talked about already, is already out. There's two versions that are on iTunes, an acoustic version as well as sort of a mid-tempo remix by Ray Lewis.
Willie Ray Lewis.
Willie Ray. Get it right, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan of sort of divas and dance music, I would like to think that there might be dance mixes or something that you might release.
Just finished some of those last night, too.
Oh, boy.
And they're rocking hard.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a few mixes.
We can expect those soon down the road.
Dripping out
the rain.
Yeah,
I feel it. Yeah. Those remixes
are coming. Shower it down. Just a little shower every now and then.
Yeah, a little.
It's like a little rain shower every now and then.
Yeah, they'll start coming out soon. Yeah. So.
You guys have so many options on your crowdfunding on the Pledge Music where people can offer different amounts of money for different rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I mean, you were saying that there's like you can get a hike.
And
you can go hiking with the two of you.
She'll make fresh juices.
With green juice. And that was Nikki's idea.
Yeah, that was my idea.
We were going
Come
over
on.
Like the t-shirt.
Anything to keep me moving, trust me.
Yeah, Nikki said, why don't we do a hike and you make them a green juice? I was like, really, Nikki? How many of those should we do? Yeah. How many should we offer? Let's start with two.
You
want to do?
I live in the South now, where everybody's like, you know, it's like you bribe them with food.
Like, I'll make you green juice, but we're going to go hiking.
But we are going hiking. Exactly.
Those went right away when we started the campaign, like the first day. So we added another one. So there is one more available.
And it's such a cool opportunity,
right?
People
and
love
to hang.
You. Such a personal thing. That's very cool.
Yeah.
And there's also, correct me, a cone bra. Of some fashion.
By Jean-Paul Gaultier.
A Gaultier cone bra. This is one of yours, right,
this
Nikki?
This is one of mine, yes. This is the official bra that we did the...
The official bra.
We used to
hit
each other
with
these bras.
We opened the Blonde Ambition Tour with when, you know, come on, girls, do you believe in love?
Express
we
yourself.
Were, and as she was saying that, we were fixing our bras and making sure they're poking out of the suit.
Yeah. Right.
So that particular bra, I'm going to auction that off. To help fund this campaign. And some of the proceeds are going to go to a charity that my sister actually works for called CARES.
And so, what does CARES do?
CARES is called the Community AIDS Resource and Education Services. They provide all kinds of help, and they go into communities that most people wouldn't go into. Mm-hmm. And they really work with underdeveloped economically, people they do AIDS testing. They do they help people who have contacted AIDS as well, and so they do work that a lot of people aren't doing out there, and especially in a very very small community.
Right?
They're based out of Michigan, which is where I'm from. Mm.
Yeah,
and so I thought this would be a way to help my sister do the work that she does.
I can only imagine what your closets, your storage units look like.
Ooh.
Just full of stuff. Just like paraphernalia, just, you know, merch, like stuff that you're just like, because it's, you know, it's like.
I love that merch.
Merchandise.
I wish I would have kept a lot of those t-shirts from Who's That Girl? There were some great t-shirts, but you ended up just giving them away.
Well, because at the time you just don't think, because it's just, people listening have to think of it, you know, like think of what you were doing 25 years ago. It's like, do you have that stuff around the house? Probably
and also,
not.
The weird part is like what I realized, I said as a joke in our EPK, that we started before the internet. We way before, you know. I remember Donna
so
going,
fun.
Nikki, you've got to get a cell phone. You know, stuff like, what? You know, I remember you saying that.
Or a website.
Yeah, you got to get a website. Remember saying that kind of stuff. Remember, I remember having that old Motorola phone. You're like, Nikki, come on, no. You
just, no, but I've been really behind as well, I got to say. Like, I had a really great fan that made me get a website. You know, she basically was like, I'm going to build one for you.
Luckily, you're both actually, you've gotten on to the World Wide Web now.
Thank you.
And we're all,
DonnaDelore.com and NikkiHarris.com. It's very simple, easy to find.
Everything Instagram, Nikki Harris, everything Donna DeLore.
Nikki, though, I want to get you have to start tweeting. Barely tweet. I think you tweeted like 4 times in the past 5 years.
I think. Have I done that?
And every one of those tweets is, hey, everyone, I'm back. And then you don't tweet again.
Exactly.
It's like, girl,
well, let's
come on
tweet
now.
Right now. Should she tweet right now?
You guys, because
remember,
for me, I'm still trying to learn waiting. I'm still trying to figure that part out. And it feels like it's one more person that I didn't get to.
I know.
I'm from the, you know, the 60s, and I still have guilt. So if I don't return a phone call, I feel bad about it. So tweeting for me is like if I don't.
You can do all these things.
You can do all these things. All these things can be done.
At the same time, she's texting all these pictures. I don't know how to do that. Like she's texting like in a group text.
No, vanity now. Vanity lives.
She is so quickly texting like little caricature things. And where are you getting these? And how are they going up
so well together?
I can do emojis now. That I can do.
And I don't do that.
But I'm long-winded, so I can't type out.
See, I do the one finger. And you're already doing the two thumb thing. Yeah.
No, I get the emoji who's just like, you know, that's it. That says everything.
Well, the Pledge Music campaign is going to be going, I guess, for like, I want to say, by the time people hear this, probably like another 100 more days. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Till early November.
And is there a timeline, like a fantasy timeline of when we might actually get some sort of album, like maybe next year sometime?
Yeah, I think next spring.
I would think hopefully by next spring. Yeah. And I'm really trying
to... We're not
going
to hold you to a date. Do not worry. That's not
And
what
the
we're
reality
doing.
Is for me is, as I keep on saying to Donna, I'm just trying my best not to put ourselves into an old paradigm of what has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to put the music out.
It's a whole new world.
It's
a whole new way of doing it.
Music flowing no matter what.
That's the most important thing for me. And I want people to, you know, buy this bra.
and to be involved.
Buy the bra.
We want people to be involved in our process
and
really let them in to what goes on in the studio, how we're figuring out arrangements, and how we're collaborating.
I'm hoping that we get to see some live performances from you guys down the road, too. Just even if it's just the two of you in, like, a coffee shop or an intimate theater.
We're planning some stuff in October, and we're trying to get something together, actually, where I come back again and we do something big around Christmas time, so.
Ooh, a Christmas concert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we'll stream it so everyone out there can be able to tune in.
Like Christmas carols with Donna and Nikki. Sell that. Put it on your crowdfunding. Come and sing Go Caroling with Donna and Nikki.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There you go.
We'll throw that in there. I didn't even think about that. But I wasn't even thinking necessarily Christmas carols, but just a concert around Christmas time.
Sure.
But now you'll throw one or two Christmas
songs
in there.
People will buy anything.
And people always need new Christmas music.
Yes.
You always need a new Christmas record.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And
Christmas song is a great idea.
Your voice is a special Christmas song as a bonus to fans.
And what it means to us, yeah.
I like it.
There's an incredible, at the end of the Who's That Girl tour, if you watch this video on YouTube, or it's in the Ciao Italia home video, at the end of it, they do Into the Groove.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
oh my God.
It's this like 12-minute version
Worn
of Into
out.
The Groove with the three backing singers, the two of you and the other lady, and whose name I...
Deborah Parsons.
Thank you, I completely blanked. Mm-hmm. Madonna and the whole sort of ensemble, the backing dancers. And it is just... It is, like, probably, arguably, the greatest performance of Into the Groove, where it's just so killer. Like, all of you are just, like, on. If it 1 to 10, you're all on 11 for that entire duration.
And then we had kept going back and forth.
Across the stage.
In front of the house PA for a stadium. We're standing in front of
the PA. Back in the day when you could do that, when people were doing that. It's like,
whoa.
Yeah.
It was
real bands, even.
Did you know at the time that the blend of your voices was special when you got together on Who's That Girl? Like, could you hear it between the two of you? Like, this is good.
On Who's That Girl?
Like, when just
no,
when
you know
two
when
of
I
you first met?
No. Yeah, no. I knew that she and I knew that we sounded good because I knew the other girl, Deborah, too. And Deborah actually, sang for Katie Lang and stuff, and she's a really great singer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually a friend of mine as well. So she and I knew each other quite well. But I didn't know to the depth of how really great our voices were until after that tour. Mm-hmm. And we started working together mainly. It was just mainly always her and I in the studio.
In the studio.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, yeah, no, we got this. We can do all these parts.
Because you guys, after the Who's That Girl tour, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I didn't really get too specific, but you recorded with Madonna on the Who's That Girl soundtrack, the Like a Prayer album. The I'm Breathless album.
Mm-hmm.
God, you remember all this, okay.
Erotica, mm-hmm. Bedtime Stories, Ray
We've
of Light.
We've done a few.
Yeah.
There was, most of the vocals on Like a Prayer and I'm Breathless, the backing vocals are the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then on towards the later albums, there's like maybe like a song or two.
Mm-hmm.
Because it started being a sound.
Yeah, well, and also I think technology also just made it easier for Madonna to just sort of double and triple herself and tweak it, and you don't need backing. I think that's the problem. That's a sort of... Backing vocalists in general and background vocalists aren't employed as much as they used to be.
Yeah.
And I think when you watch movies like 20 Feet from Stardom or things like that, where you see what kind of magic it can bring, and sometimes technology is wonderful at the same time, it takes away something at the same time. So I think just me as a fan.
I got one word. Luther Vandross. He's the king of like letting you know a background singer can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
A background singer can make or break your record and make or break your show. If you're really putting your stuff out front like that, now you can hide it with a lot of ding, 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 mm-hmm. Jazz hands, and you can, and especially nowadays.
Yeah,
I was watching the Bob Marley documentary that's on Netflix.
Oh
and
my God!
Realizing like the and one of the background singers was his wife, but the sound. What would it be like without them mm-hmm. on those records
right.
and everything on and those live performances, mm-hmm. as well as so many other records and performances. People bring their energy. It's a different mm-hmm. color, a different vibration. So there's mm-hmm. so much that singers and side musicians, of course,
and it pulls up. And quite frankly, it pulls other things out of the artists themselves too.
Certainly,
because
I see certain artists who have changed, or maybe gotten smaller, or depending on the lights, depending on the costume, depending on when there's like you got so much, you're missing all this other stuff that you could have been doing right now because now you're depending on this stuff.
Right.
I know nobody can see this because...
She's putting her hands in front of her face. It's all about the image.
The facade.
I don't want to say that word. I'm going to let you guys say that word.
Just stuff having to sound like a record. I mean, so many people feel the pressure that it has to sound like the record. Mm-hmm. And And a lot of the audience members are like, yeah, they love it. I mean, they don't care. I go to concerts and I'm like, does anybody realize these are taped vocals? Mm. People, they don't really care, even if you mention it.
I mean, I think there are still people that do care.
Some people do.
I think, but all, I think, you know, sometimes it
depends
on the
artist.
Hence
why I do jazz.
Well, yeah. and that's the...
Where it's not allowed.
That's the the beauty of the two of you working together. There's, yeah. you know, as I said earlier, the yin and the yang and the jazz and sort of the dance and the mm-hmm. same time the quiet and the pure popness. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's that fun combination that the two of you have that is going to be so interesting when people listen to the music that's coming from you guys. You know, I want to wrap up our sort of discussion about the past a little bit. You know, you both worked with Madonna for a long time. Donna up through 2006.
2007 was my last performance with her at Live Earth.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
with Al Gore and that whole thing. Yeah.
That's right.
So 20 years.
And, yeah. and Nikki, you worked with her up through 2001, mm-hmm. The Drowned World Tour. Is there a, like a takeaway from sort of the time that you spent with Madonna, because your paths have diverted and you've since moved on professionally. Is there kind of a takeaway or a lesson that you have? And it doesn't have to be incredibly thought-provoking or like, oh, I learned this. But, mm-hmm. you know, you've spent a nice long time working with her in various capacities, and you worked with many other people too. But is there kind of like a thing that you would say about your time with her, sort of one overarching reflection?
For me... You know, I grew up with these, as a child, with these big dreams. I had a father who's a musician, so I grew up in the studios, and from a very young age, I knew I wanted to be a singer. And then just growing up in pop culture, I wanted to be a very famous singer and a big pop star and everything. And then being able to be on tour with Madonna and be part of that and play that out. And I love performing, and I love putting on costumes and everything. But getting back to the roots of why I love music so much and how much it touches my heart. And that's where I feel like I really started as a child, sitting next to my dad at the piano. Mm-hmm. And after all of that, I with all that experience, and it's amazing, love being on stage, but I really love being a songwriter, being an artist myself, appreciating everything that I learned from being around an artist like that, mm-hmm. who showed me that you can be a producer and you can arrange and you can write your own songs and everything. That was really powerful for me because I wasn't raised that way.
Nikki?
You know, with those kind of role models.
This is where our, you say our paths are like the yin and the yang. I too grew up next to my father by the piano.
Yeah,
my
both
father,
of you. You're
my father was a jazz mm-hmm. pianist. However, I never dreamt of being a singer. I never dreamt of being a star. I never dreamt of any kind of lights. My singers, the people I loved, were in the churches or in the jazz clubs, and none of them wanted to be on cover of a magazine or never wanted to be on anybody's television show. So I never knew any, I didn't even know to dream that way. But I did know hard work, and I knew if you want a great show, you got to put the work in. So what Madonna represents for me is like, she allowed me to go, oh, You can do the hard work, and have all the stuff, this other good stuff, come to you too. That it doesn't have to be just pain and suffering, which is a lot of what the jazz musicians' life has been a lot of times. She's like, you don't have to always be suffering all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that it's good that it's good to have some sparkle in you every now and then. That's good too.
Yeah,
you know that's. She allowed me to, you know, just dream that way for a while, you know. But at the end of the day, she also taught me that hard work is what's going to pay off. Just, you got to work.
Well, I think, you know, after all this talk about Madonna, you know, I think it seems an appropriate time to shift our discussion to our other topic, du jour, which is some of our favorite female pop vocalists. Now, these are just some of our favorites. We're not going to say that this is a definitive list by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a selection of our favorites. And we're just going to take turns listing our favorites. We can go around the room, you know, like we're in school again, along with maybe a bit of reflection about each of the women. It doesn't have to be like a thesis or an essay. And full disclosure.
No grades. There'll be no grades.
Full disclosure, right. I did warn Donna and Nikki that we will be doing this so that they hopefully have come prepared.
Of course not.
So they aren't.
I'm the black girl with the public school education.
Oh.
I don't study.
Girl. I'll go first. And this is sort of a gimme.
Who are you going to pick, Keith?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Madonna.
Well,
I mean, she's not technically the greatest vocalist, and she's said as much. I mean, she's not the greatest singer. She's not the greatest dancer. And so saying that she's one of my favorite female vocalists is kind of interesting because she's not a technically brilliant singer. She's not Barbra Streisand or Aretha Franklin. But I really like the sound of her voice. There has always been something about the sound of her voice that has moved me. And I've always really enjoyed her voice when it's been more raw, when it's not been so finessed and tuned and tweaked.
Yeah.
And I've always openly kind of griped about that on the recent albums because it's just too computery in my head. And, I always like hearing someone breathe when they sing. And and that's why I just, that's why I like hearing kind of raw live vocals. And so some of my favorite Madonna tracks are kind of, you know, the 80s, early 90s, where it feels warmer. That's not to say I don't love her dearly now. I just prefer that. And so occasionally when it does come through on an album where I hear a raw vocal, I'm like, oh, love
that's
that.
Nice.
Yes,
it's
I love
great that.
That
you can hear that.
So she's my first. And Katie, take it away. What's yours?
I'm super excited to hear that Nikki worked with Whitney Houston a bunch because she was my absolute everything when I was growing up. So I had to pick her. Her voice is just untouchable. And I remember a few years back when an isolated track of her vocal from I Wanna Know came out. And it's
How
just,
Will I Know?
How Will I Know? And it was just flawless. And just to hear it without anything else and just to hear it like just pure Whitney was perfection.
It's that, there's a boy. I know.
Right. Yeah, and she gets up here too.
It's
song, and it's goosebumps.
Wow.
Yeah. Just incredible.
And she and you're right, because she did. She set the standard for so many singers who keep trying to sound like her, still trying to sound like her.
People,
you can try.
That's to me, those are when you know that they're a great singer. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go, oh, you're trying to do, you're a little Whitney-esque. So with that said, I will go to who the greatest of the great, as far as I'm concerned. Aretha Franklin.
Aretha.
What's she gonna say? Come on, man. Like, that's the number one of the number one, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, because she covered all the bases. She started off in the church, but then she went through her period of, you know, learning all the jazz standards, doing her jazz records, trying to figure out who she was, and then finding all those wonderful Muscle Shoals country boys to make that record with her and bring that funky stuff from Detroit and put all that fusing together, which is kind of what you and I do. And knowing that all those neighborhoods, you know, got the same book in them, really. They're reading from the same book. And they just, you know, singing different, you know, they just sing them differently. But still, they're putting one hand on the Bible and one, you know, at the end of the day, and one fist in the air.
There you go.
That's why we love Aretha.
Donna?
So we pick one right now?
Just one, and then we'll go back around the circle.
So, Kate Bush.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, when I started listening to her, I wasn't a writer yet. And she really was, for me, an example of a great songwriter and vocalist where she could use her voice as an instrument. And she could express so much emotion. And to me, I could feel the depths of where she was going in her songs. Like Peter Gabriel's kind of music, where it's going more into the subconscious mind. And I love that, and that was what I strived for with what kind of music I wanted to do in the future. And I love singing along with her. She sings in a higher register. The purity of her voice. So free with her voice. And going and seeing interviews on her and documentaries and things of where she was when she was making those records, I really respect her so much.
My second is someone that has a pure pop voice, but not like Kate Bush's, though. It's actually Kylie Minogue, which... seems, again, like a Madonna sort of interesting choice.
I was gonna say,
choice.
I sense a dance.
There's a dance
theme.
Pop vibe.
Sure.
But Kylie's voice is so sort of like clear and pure and so perfect. And she's such an incredible live singer as well. And she's not like, you know, she's not sort of working the sort of the Aretha soulful thing, but she's so technically crystal clear sometimes where she just hits these notes and she's like, I'm like, I don't know how you do that because I can't because I'm not a singer, but it's just, you feel it like it's magical. Like I've seen her live. I mean, I went to the trouble of, I flew to London specifically for a weekend just to see her perform once.
You did?
Wow. And I'm ridiculous. And I, at the end of it, I was just like chills and goosebumps. Cause I was just like, I'm in a moment and I'm feeling something. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because it's an amazing show, but it's mm-hmm. amazing because I'm hearing her. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you just, it just makes you feel good.
And she's been at the top of her game for a long mm-hmm. time.
Well,
now.
You know, and also she's, you know, that's all beside the point.
But it's, there's a reason for it. Though.
Yes, yes.
And
because
she has one of those voices that you hear it and you know
it's her. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my second one. Katie?
Okay, my second one is Barbra Streisand, who you mentioned.
There you go.
My mom is a voice teacher, and I grew up with Barbra playing in the house all the time and with musical theater in general, and I think that that's why I always loved her specifically is because she always was also acting when she was singing. You know, like you heard the emotion in every line that she sang. And I mean, Don't Rain on My Parade is just like the ultimate in the way that it builds and builds and builds, and I love Funny Girl in general. But, like, she just breaks my heart when she sings every single time and mm-hmm. just has a technically incredible voice mm-hmm. also.
Are you going to see her when she's on tour?
I'm hoping to. We were just talking about that.
She's
yeah.
playing Staples
I've
Center
got
in a few
to,
weeks.
Right? Yes, yeah. obviously.
Make it happen.
Do that. Yeah.
To try to beg.
She's another one of those. When they yeah. want to sound like you, that's when you know you're the one. You're the one. She's one of those that everyone tries to sound like first, and then they eventually find their own niche.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Celine. Wow. Celine was
one. Oh,
there
yeah.
you go.
Celine was like a Whitney/Barbra.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
If you're going to bite from somebody, if you're going to go into a neighborhood and learn something, those are the two neighborhoods to go in and hang out for a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you just took my second one. Oh, but whatever.
You could also talk about her.
You could also talk about
her,
Barbra.
Yeah, she was my second one because, you know, yeah. So I will lean into another one then.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm trying to... Do I have to stay current or do I not?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, then. I'm not going to stay current. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stay current. I was going to do Ariana or whatever, you know, Adele. we'll go there later. But I'm going to go back to, once again, pulling from all the great Americana. Mm-hmm. Ann Wilson from Heart.
Oh yes. My God, we were just talking about
she was going to be
too.
My third
Ann Wilson
one.
Heart.
Therefore, we're on the
come
same
on,
wavelength
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
we know.
We grew up.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
she
to me, it's like goosebumps when I think
Barracuda
on you. I'm like, oh, let me go. I'm like, oh, come on now. I'm with you. I'm with you all day long. She, and to me, she was the one who, she was represent very much like Aretha, and that I don't need nothing but the mic.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't need nothing but, trust me, just let me sing the song. And and for me, when a singer trusts themselves enough mm-hmm. and trusts the lyric that they're singing enough and trusts the universe enough that you got the magic in you, that you don't have to put all the other stuff around you. Eventually, if you want to, you can, but trust that enough. And so when I, the first time I heard her, I was like, oh, my word.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Please, Lord, just let me have just a little bit of that. Give me a little bit of that.
She's hitting notes that just are next level.
There's a YouTube clip. I keep saying about YouTube, but there's a YouTube clip of her where it's her in the studio recording What About Love.
Mm-hmm. What about love? Come on.
And I can't do it. But it's just her. It's just her behind the mic.
Okay. It's the way she voices. It's just like where she cuts in.
I'm like,
no.
It's the quality of that.
Come on.
It's like, how does that come out of your mouth?
Right.
It's just nuts.
It's just nuts. And beyond that, she always makes me, whenever I see Heart together, they remind me of Don and I.
That's what I was going to say, too.
It's the yin and the yang.
Totally.
It's
yeah.
the sister thing, and it's the yin and yang, because their voices are very, very different. And the way, but
when they fit together,
it's like hand in glove, man. It's like mm-hmm. hand in glove. So, yeah.
I look forward to a cover of Alone. Yeah. Then on the tour.
I was
going to
say, we got it. One of those. Another song. Okay. Take note. Put that on the notepad.
These dreams.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this next artist, my next choice, is I've worn out. I still listen to CDs in my car. Every road trip.
You're allowed.
Worn out all of her CDs, so I have to buy them again, over and over again. And it's Emmy Lou Harris.
Ooh.
I love this woman's voice. She was recently playing in Santa Barbara before Lyle Lovett. She did like an opener set, very small, and she had her friend playing some percussion and guitar. It was a very loose band, but it's all about her voice. And she, where she is in her life, what she's seen, what she's been through, her experience, what she represents for me now is something for me to look forward to 20 years, not even 20 years, in the future, of being this wise, beautiful woman, so empowered. And the story she tells, she always talks about how she loves sad songs, and I do too. I love that, going to that place in a song and storytelling. The sound of her voice, this little break that she has, it's so moving to me. And I must have heard a lot of her records growing up, you know, when she was on the radio and the country crossover stuff. And I moved to Nashville when I was 16, so there's a lot of that going on, listening to Patsy Cline and her. And this is an artist I've listened to every one of her records. I would not miss one.
Wow.
So I love her so much.
Okay.
My third and final one is Donna Summer.
It was a dance theme.
I like my pop. But Donna...
She's kind of genius.
She's able to do... She was able to do pop, R&B, gospel, sort of Broadway, a little bit of opera-ish. I mean, she could hit notes that most people can't approach or look at. And she was able to do it so effortlessly.
Right.
And even just, you know, just... She could just riff and just do something, and you would just be amazed at, like, just a moment. Right. So Donna Summer's my
and it's the her placement too. Like, for me, it was always, as a singer, it was the way she placed the air in her voice, and she barely even opened her mouth when she sang. I mean, and most singers with big voices like that, like, really are like, what? Sitting here eating my heart on, baby, waiting for some loving to come. It'd be like, right here. She never really opened her mouth up too much. She just, running on the heart, not better than that. She's like really, really tight and chill. She was so chill. As opposed to Aretha, you know, like big and wide.
Right.
And Anne, big and wide, really using the cavity. And there was something about getting that big tone, but it's the difference between a tenor saxophone and a flute, or like, you know, like, you're still getting tone, but you're not trying to open the whole open it up that wide. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I mean, I'm analyzing now, sorry.
No.
Love you, Donna.
Katie knows.
Love you, Donna.
Because Katie, actually, you properly know how to sing.
Well, just,
you know,
because
what I mean?
Of my mom.
Yeah.
Being around her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying you're cutting a record tonight.
Right.
But, you know, you technically know this a lot better. So I did not understand that. I wonder how would it have sounded different if Donna decided to sing differently. Mm. She's like, I can do whatever you want me to. And also, thank you for just randomly singing every
beautiful.
So often. That was beautiful.
I just was thinking about, you know, I always see her.
I didn't even have to pay you for that.
I see her mouth when she's singing. It's like so cool. I'm like, because I've always wanted, because every picture of me is like that ugly girl singing, you know, like, I never take pretty pictures, but Donna was always like so chill, you couldn't get a bad picture of her, because she was like, chill, man, like, it was chill, make all the bong, it's like, everything was really lovely, you know.
Wow.
Yes, really sexy.
Maybe she was thinking
she
that too.
She had a sexy face. Yeah. Who knows?
She was like, I'm not going to screw up that picture.
Yeah. Who knows? Okay, next. Oh.
Well, since we already talked about Ann Wilson, I'm actually going to concede my third choice to my mom, who I consulted for this.
So your mom is
theme.
Your third choice?
Yes. Well, yeah. She's so good. She is, but you've never heard her, so we'll do something else. Her choice was Linda Ronstadt, which I really loved that choice. She said that her cover of the Eagles' Desperado like my dad's favorite song, and so she... like made me visit that, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, and so Debbie Byrne gets the last choice of the
your mom days. Debbie Byrne.
That's great.
Oh. Wow. I'm I can tell that we're all Americans because we got this whole like a little bit of Appalachian, a little bit of, you know, rock, Americana rock, and a whole lot of disco going on. God, there's so many.
I know.
I like you. So you were talking about, if you were to keep it current, that you love an Ariana, you love like
I do.
Voices.
I mean, you know, and here's the deal. I understand that there's a new influx of singers that have been influenced by different people now. And so as a singer, I came from a place where the vibrato was a little bit longer. Mm. It was much more. Let me take it back. There are singers who are influenced by Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald grew up in big band times where the clarinet was really the powerful instrument. Music changed and went more into the saxophone era. Singers started being like Sarah Vaughan. Aretha was much more of a saxophony kind of singer. I mean, where the tone, you know, she could go wide. Chaka Khan was of that era too. Then something happened, and maybe it's computers. I'm not really sure, but there's something that the vibrato got faster on the singers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And there's a certain era of singers that are singing like that now. That
definitely
that it can tend to bother me.
Okay.
Mainly because, and what happens is engineers end up changing it, auto-tuning and stuff, and it's really from an era, I'm not going to say the names, but that era of singers have relied on auto-tuning. Yeah. So their voices have a particular sound.
It's really been
manipulated. Because I don't go to their concerts necessarily, I'm not really sure what they sound like live.
And maybe that can even
be
done.
I'm really not, not sure. Then. So my last singer, I'm going to try to do, I will say that I love her, but I really know she is a reflection of a past singer, and that's Adele, but she's really Dusty Springfield.
Oh, that's really,
I can see,
that's who she really is. I mean, like, so it's like, and I love Adele. I don't know what Adele is gonna, I mean, because there's not enough history on Adele yet. I don't know what she's like live, you know. I know what she's like when they fix it up and make it pretty and make her look like she's live.
You know what it's
I'm gonna
like
say
live,
she's amazing live.
No, because her tone is so beautiful.
It's
her
ridiculous.
Tone is beautiful, and and she's and it's lovely to have a pop singer that's an alto, because so many pop singers have to be sopranos.
Yeah,
it's lovely to have a rich, warm saxophone.
It's not
tone.
Just the high notes where she shines. It's like in the lower register.
I mean, if she can get past the victim songs, I'm gonna be loving her even more.
Well, she's in a happy spot in life, so I'm guessing next album is gonna be all just like, I'm a happy mom.
And
y'all.
The good news is, the good news is like the great news is like, you know, dance music is this far away from gospel music. Mm-hmm. As far as, it's just celebratory. It's all backbeat is, you know, thank you, Lord. It's all the same thing. It's all that. So take an Adele song, just put some happy lyrics on it.
Yeah.
You got dance mix. You got all kind of. Because I think I've heard her, what's the, never find out, that one.
Someone
like you. But they did a dance mix to it, right? And it's like, okay, because it's like, if she wrote some happy lyrics, it'd be even better. Yeah. But I'm saying she has that voice that can transcend both those spaces.
Yeah.
You know, and hit both of those colors.
So I don't want you to teach a class in, like, music history or, like, education or something. Just, like, teaching people, like, just, you know. I mean, we're getting a lesson
now. I do master classes. I am for hire, honey. All universities call me. I do clinics all the time.
I can come to Atlanta, and we can work on that.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna close it out here, Donna.
Okay.
No pressure.
Stevie Nicks.
Yes. Oh. We talked about her before.
We talked about her.
She just popped into my head, and there's so many, and I was just
worked with her too.
Growing up. I went to their concert, I think it was a year ago, the Fleetwood Mac concert.
The one at the Forum. Oh, the Bowl.
It was the Bowl. It was a year or two
ago. Okay.
And just, like, really, every time you're out and one of her songs comes on, her voice, the earthiness of it, it's just so beautiful. I've watched documentaries on her as well to know her life story and her path and as a songwriter and everything. But just seeing them live was... The minute she opens her mouth, and it doesn't matter if she can't hit that high note anymore, whatever it is, or she's a little more raspy. Her spirit is so beautiful,
and her lyrics are the ones.
And her lyrics, and
I do a jazz version of Dreams because I mean it's like only and that's the other thing too. Singing a lot of music, you know, it's a great song if you can still sing it with a country beat, with a Latin beat, with a funk beat. It's a good song. It's like, if it's a good song, it'll work no matter what. I can do Come Rain or Come Shine with a funk beat. If Cole Porter works in funk, and you can do a Latin beat. So it's like, great song. Stevie Nicks, her songs are so beautiful.
So one of hers, I've thought since the beginning of us, you know, brainstorming about what songs to do, to try to think of one of her songs that would,
would
be perfect for us.
Wow.
So you can
I told you I wanted to do Never Break the Chain.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many. Break the chain. Come on, we can do it.
You don't know me now. You'll never love me again.
Yeah, if you don't know me now, it's like, how long we've been through this? That's a story for us.
I can still hear you saying you will never break the chain.
I can still hear you saying
we will never break the chain. Come on, it can happen.
Lay it down tonight.
Done. It's done. And so it is.
I'll play cymbal on it. I'll play triangle.
Ding, you could.
Well, I think before we wrap up, this is a regular part of the show each week. I do a chart stat of the week. This week in 1990, 26 years ago, Madonna was riding high on the charts with both her I'm Breathless album and its songs Vogue and Hanky Panky, all of
which were on both,
featured backing vocals from none other than Donna DeLaurie and Nikki Harris. On the Billboard Hot 100 chart dated July 28th, 1990, Hanky Panky spanked its way to number 10 on the Hot 100.
Hanky Panky.
Nothing like a good spanky.
Nice. Don't pull out your handkerchief. I don't wanna. I just wanna hanky panky time.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love that stuff.
While the former number one smash, Vogue, of course, spent its final week in the top 40. Over on the Billboard 200 chart that week, the I'm Breathless album spent a second week at its peak, number two. It didn't go to number one, shockingly enough. It was stuck behind that darn MC Hammer. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Oh, boy.
Man, that year Madonna...
That was an
genius.
Unstoppable
album.
Madonna was denied two number one albums that year. I'm Breathless stuck at number two, and The Immaculate Collection, which of course you're all over, stuck at number two behind Vanilla Ice's To the Extreme.
Those are the two albums.
So when the world was
that,
changing.
Yeah.
You know.
He's out touring again, I think, I saw. If you want to...
I hear he rocks a mic like a vandal.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go. There's our chart set of the week. 26 years ago, Madonna and Donna and Nikki were all riding high on the charts, thanks to I'm Breathless, Vogue, and Hanky Panky. Well, that's it. I kept you guys way longer than I anticipated.
We had fun.
Yeah,
so sorry.
Much fun.
Do you guys have any parting words for us?
Buy the bra.
Except buy the bra and pledge your music and pledge your money.
And I want to just say thank you so much for your support and your interest in what we're doing.
Sure.
And following us for all these years and helping us to get our music out.
He's a little bit of a fan.
Yeah.
I really
appreciate
it. I've tried to keep it all in. But I really do. You know, I think a lot of people have very vivid memories of seeing you guys on TV. Like I can remember seeing the TV and watching the 1989 VMAs and seeing Express Yourself with the three
incredible.
Of you. It was just the three of
just
you.
Just the three of us. Yeah. I choreographed that. Thank you very much.
You did. Awesome. Did you choreograph the voguing element
Yes. And that was before the song we ever even did Vogue.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, this
exactly.
was this was the this
the
was,
three of us. Exactly.
Just,
yes.
Yeah.
I had just come back from New York and had saw the guys doing that. And yes, so yes, that was us doing that.
Are we going to get in trouble? Like Vincent Patterson didn't choreograph
No. He definitely did the video for, you know, Vogue and Jose and Lewis.
Yeah.
For the
that's
Bonavision.
who we give credit to.
That that moment in the breakdown of Express Yourself when you guys started voguing, I'm sure everyone was like, what the hell is going on? Because no one had seen that before.
I remember us working it out and like going, you know, okay, it might look a little weird, but this is going to be very, very cool.
I can't do it. But no, I've loved watching you guys together, and I had the pleasure of being able to see the Drowned World Tour because when Girly Show happened, it never barely came to America.
It's a beautiful show.
I've seen all these things later on DVD and home video and so forth. But when the Blonde Ambition Tour came through, I was 15. I hadn't even gone to a tour yet. I didn't get to see the show.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see Girly Show, and so I finally saw the two of you with Madonna doing Drowned World. And it was such a thrill because then we never got to see that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy that I got to have the two of you here together.
Come to our show when we play either over Christmas
we'll
or
October.
Next year. We're looking
we'll
for
go caroling with Donna and Nikki.
Well, we're looking for an October performance first, and then we will come back and do a Christmas performance.
Halloween with Donna and Nikki.
Why not?
Every
scary
holiday.
Mask. I want to say to you thank you because we just finished doing the Strike a Pose premiere with the boys.
I saw, Strike a Pose, the documentary about the dancers from the Truth of Dare and Blonde Ambition.
And part of what was really revealing to me was the boys not seeing how much impact that they had had on people's lives. Mm-hmm. So just now, you saying that about, you know, when you were 15 and seeing us made me just go, whoa, Nikki, don't take any of this for granted. Don't take that you're not touching somebody's lives, too, because... Thank you for those kind words you just said, and thank you for, you know, holding us in the highlight through all these years.
Keep on tweeting.
Yeah.
I'm back! 20 years later. I'm back!
So funny.
We always go out on a song.
Ooh,
you're not
song?
Singing the song, don't worry. You don't have to.
Really?
Well, I mean, you can if you... I mean, Normally, we go out on a song where we just have a song that's played.
Well, if it's ours, you can play it.
I mean,
we can sing.
We can go out on a song that you want to sing. You don't have to. No pressure. Nikki is giving me a look like right now is like I did not prepare.
What song?
Really?
Are you going
no, I'm probably just having a hot flash. I'm like,
no,
I'm
I mean,
not,
normally
I am
Kate,
so.
Normally, Katie and I just say what song should we go out on, and
what
like
song are you going out on?
We'll just pick a song. Like, ding,
ding, ding. Well, I want to hear a Nikki and Donna song.
Well, I want to hear something that Nikki and Donna did or is going to do or may have worked
or
on
is going or they are going to do.
Mm. No, no.
Little education moment.
It's
for you.
Literally, it's like 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Like 15 seconds.
Ray, ready?
Ready.
Rain, feel it on my fingertips. Hear it on my windowpane. Your love's coming down like rain. Wash away my sorrow. Take away my pain. Your love's coming down like rain.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Oh my God! Seconds. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you. I love it. It's the hands next to each other. It's the clutching the pearls kind of moment.
Clutching the pearls. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you very much, love.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.